fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and good morning to all of you. If you had a chance to tune into the program yesterday, I mentioned this week I wanted to take a look at chapter 8 from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. Sections from this chapter and others church has been going through over the last week or so. I just wanted to stop at chapter 8 because it really is like the crown of the entire letter of Romans and one of the great chapters or great sections in the entire Bible. Began with the first 8 or so verses yesterday that, again, if you didn't have a chance to listen to the program, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net. You can download them and listen to them on your computer or put them on your iPod, either way. This section is so beautiful. I just want to underline one verse 6. Really touched my heart yesterday when we were going through it. As Paul's contrasting the mind that's set on the flesh, that is the concupiscent desire, the fallen nature, the dimension of our life that resists the will of God, that doesn't say thy will be done, but insists on my will being done. And it's not just simply, as I said yesterday, an expression. When people hear the word flesh, they often think immediately of sexual sin. Well, that's one dimension of it, but it's something deeper. The sexual disorder is one expression or one manifestation of the fallen and brokenness of our heart. What Jesus has come to transform, to give us a new heart, to give us his own heart. So it's at our core. That resistance against God, the point there is the resistance to God is fundamental within us. And Paul points it out here in verse 6 and 7. He said, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. Flesh, death, spirit, life, and peace. That's the contrast. That's the decision. Jesus has come to deal with this problem. Every single human being is born under the power of the flesh, born into a world that's under the domination of the world of flesh and the devil. And Jesus came to break the rule and domination of those powers over each and every person's life. He offers through his own death and resurrection and through the ministry of the church, the preaching and life and sacraments of the church, an opportunity to move from death to life. That's really what Christianity is. It's to pass from death to life. And the death is a life apart from God, a life without God. There is no life, actually, without God. There is no third way between death and life. The life that Jesus offers is the life that we were made for, which is a life that would give us the capacity to share in God's own life and to live with God forever and to live with all those he's created in a communion of perfect love like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So this is what's being offered. And Jesus came because he's making clear to us that's not reachable for us on our own resources. We can't get from point A to point B. We can't break the power of the work of the flesh over us, the covetousness, the lust, the anger, the bitterness, the unforgiveness. All we have to do is take a peek into our own heart and we'll see, we'll feel. We know it. We feel it numerous times every day. We're very much a mixed bag. And ultimately, Paul is showing us here, we see it in that we can't fulfill the great commandments to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, and all my strength. And then to love my neighbor as I love myself. We don't do either one of these. Why? Because we're under the power of the flesh, of sin at work in us. So Paul makes the contrast. The flesh is going to lead us to death. And this is how the enemy every day puts before us things that are seductive, things that are attractive to the flesh. Put yourself first. Pursue someone else's wife. Whatever it is, cheat, lie, steal to get ahead. Don't forgive. That person deserves it. Hold it over their head. All kinds of things every day the enemy puts in front of us, and they all look good. They all look like they're going to be to our advantage. And because we're under this work of the flesh, the desire to put ourselves first, to get ahead of everybody else, to count myself better than everybody else, we get easily seduced. And the mind of the flesh is the mind that's looking for that. It's that, the mind of the flesh that Paul describes here is one that's trapped in this disordered energy of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and we're grasping for ourselves first before anybody else. But the mind of the Spirit has a different end game. It has a different conclusion that it'll lead to. The mind of the Spirit is someone who's surrendered to the drives, the grace, the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit. We literally, with the Holy Spirit, are given a new way of thinking, a transformed mind. A transformed mind is what? A mind that's set on Christ, on the will of God. No longer hostile to God, as Paul said. Because the mind of the flesh is literally hostile to God. God's my enemy because God gets in the way of what I want. And if I'm God's enemy, it leads to death. Because there is no life apart from God. The life and the peace that he's talking about is eternal life and right relationship with God and my neighbor. Jesus broke the hostility that we have between God and between our neighbor and makes it possible now for us to be a communion, one body, one heart, one mind together in him. Verse 10 in chapter 8, he said, but if Christ is in you, although your bodies are dead because of sin, your spirits are alive because of righteousness. Okay, our body is death-directed. Because of sin, everyone dies. We not only die a natural death, but we die the eternal death, the second death. Even though our body's going to die, our spirit, the core of our being, that which unites us to God and we share in his life, has been brought to life by the presence and the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ within us. We have been made right with God in right relationship. We're not hostile to God. We're not God's enemies. We're God's children now. That's why the Apostle John would say, brethren, we are God's children now. It's such a beautiful, beautiful truth that's at the core of our being. That's a free gift that God gives to each and every one of us. So, verse 11, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit who dwells in you. So here's the promise. The Father raised Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus now reigns in glory, absolute, indestructible life. Jesus has a power now to bring to life, to give his eternal life, the power of this indestructible life to anyone he desires. And he's saying if you repent, anyone who repents, that is, turns from the direction that's being led by the mind that's in the flesh and turns to Jesus and receives the waters of baptism and the gift of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is offering a share, Paul tells us, in what belongs to him. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, if that Spirit's alive in you, will raise you from the dead. Friends, there's nothing more important. It's the Spirit of God dwelling within us. This is the great gift of Christianity. This is why Jesus died, to make it possible for each person to be able to become a temple of the Holy Spirit, a literal dwelling place of God. Christianity is a new life. It's a new creation in Jesus Christ. It's not just a new law. The new law is a person. It's the Holy Spirit that's given to us and gives us a capacity to live a new way of life. Verse 12, so then, brethren, we're not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, we will die. Again, that debt's been paid. Christ has paid now the debt that I owe. I don't have to live under the power and the condemnation of the flesh. Jesus paid the price. Jesus died for me and destroyed that power, that rule over my life. And he's given me a share in something entirely new, entirely different. It's not just a new philosophy, friends. It's a new power. It's a person. It's the Spirit, as I said, that gives us a new capacity to live a new way of life. He said, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. This is the process of maturation as a disciple, of mortification, of growing and cooperating with the work of the Spirit that's within us. Because here Paul makes the contrast again. Remember, the flesh is death-directed. If I insist on living according to my passions and my desires, what I want and not what God wants, it's going to lead me to death, period. There's no other way because I'm not living according to the Spirit. I haven't received the life of the Spirit. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Each one of us knows that even though we've been baptized into Christ and his Spirit's at work in us, we still have this battle against the flesh. And we'll fight this battle all the way till the end, until we're 6 feet under. You know, you've probably heard that many times, that we're in a battle throughout our lives, and that battle, that struggle, is a spiritual combat. And we're still fighting against the world, external power, that the dimension of creation that we live in, that dimension which resists God, the world, the flesh, that drive within us that still rises up on occasion, concupiscence, to want to resist, want to connive with the world and resistance against God, and of course the devil, who wants to orchestrate it all, who wants to lead us back into slavery instead of into the freedom of the sons and daughters of God in the Spirit. So what Paul is saying, we need to take action each day. We need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, who is subduing our flesh, who's putting us to death. This is the road to holiness. This is what the saints are models for each and every one of us. They give us a concrete picture of the reality of the struggle, but where the Holy Spirit can take us in this world if we cooperate fully with Him. So if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. Notice Paul's not saying this is not just willpower. It's a matter of we engage our will, but we engage our will in cooperating with the Spirit, who alone has the power to put to death the deeds of the body, that resistance to God within us. In verse 14, he says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." What does it mean to be a son or daughter of God? To be led by the Spirit. You as a Christian, if you're listening, are meant to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, who prompts, who leads, who encourages, who convicts, who exhorts, who moves us, who strengthens us, who gives us gifts. We walk now by the Spirit that Jesus has given to each and every one of us, so we can walk as sons and daughters of God. Verse 15, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear." Such an important line. You've been given, friends, not a spirit of fear. Paul will say in another place that, you know, spirit of timidity, but you've been given a spirit of power, of love, and of self-control. That's what you've received. The spirit of power, of love, and of self-control. That's the life of Jesus. That's Jesus at work in us. That's Jesus fulfilling his commitment to the Father in obedience to the Father, the promise to bring every one of us to perfection. He's talking here again about this call to holiness. You are called to freedom, not to fear. Fear resides in the heart of a childless father, of someone who's been abandoned, who's on their own, who's isolated, who has no strength and hope, and just is lost in this world. The devil wants to wield his power, the power of death, over us to teach us to become slaves to fear, to bring us back. And Paul's saying, don't listen. You have been set free now. You're a new creation. You've been purchased. You belong to God. You're a son and you're a daughter of God. You are kingdom destined. Your history does not determine your destiny. Jesus Christ and the power of his Spirit in you now determines your destiny. Declare that freedom. Take authority over your life. Subdue that drive and the power of the Spirit so you can walk in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. God bless you. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.